Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at ArmorAll.com. Armor All, less work, more clean. Terms apply.
What is going on, Diesel Nation? We're excited to have you guys with us today on the Diesel Podcast. If you're watching this on YouTube and you're not subscribed, make sure you click the subscribe button. Like and comment. Let us know what you think of the episode. If you have any follow-up questions, if you'd like us to have a particular guest or cover a topic, we'd love to hear from you guys and get those on a future episode. Today I'm going to be chatting with Jordan. He had messaged into us from Instagram. He listens to the podcast, and he's got, to his knowledge, the fastest VGT LML Duramax on the planet. So we're going to chat with him about the truck, the setup, how he got it so quick. It's really impressive, the story behind the truck. But before we get to it, I want to thank our friends over at Kershaw Knives. If you go to kershaw.kiausa.com, you get 20% off. Just use code DIESEL20. It's a great way to save some money on some cool gear, whether you need something for hunting, fishing, EDC, around the house, at work. They've got a ton of choices to meet any budget, so we appreciate them offering this exclusive discount code to you guys. All right, let's get to today's episode with Jordan and chatting about this LML Duramax that has, to his knowledge, the fastest VGT turbo on the planet. Jordan, welcome to the Diesel Podcast. I appreciate you reaching out to us on Instagram to tell us about a really cool truck, and I think what we're going to chat about is the fastest VGT LML that's out there. So it's always cool to see what you guys are working on out there, learning more about like your truck and the build that you have and why you gravitated towards it. So I look forward to our chat today.
Yeah, man, me too. I really appreciate it.
So tell me a bit about your truck. Is it your first diesel truck, or have you been a Duramax fan for a long time, or where did the passion and the commitment start to get into diesel performance and get the truck that you did?
So it's technically my third diesel truck, but my second Duramax. My first diesel was a 1984 one ton 6.2 Detroit, little gutless turd. And I yanked that out and put a 406 small block in it because I lived in California. And to get rid of this, don't do smog, just get a diesel pickup that's 97 or older, and I dropped a gasser in it. And then I traded my gasser for an 05 four-door long bed LLY and sold that and got the truck I have now. So going from a four-door long bed to a single cab short bed was the weirdest thing, like, to transfer over for driving.
There's a lot of questions I want to ask you there. Sometimes we get people who say, hey, talk more about 6.2, 6.5. So when you had the 6.2, what was it like to drive one? I've never driven in one. I know they exist, but I have no experience with it. Like, was it just, I imagine it was underpowered if you did an engine swap on it. Yeah. But what was it like?
It's just like, I guess the best way I can say, it's like a gas motor that's diesel. I mean, there's no power. You just, you put it to the floor, you're not going anywhere. It's more like all noise, no go. So just, I yanked that out, made it a badass 4.6 gas motor, put a small block in it, and had funds out in the dunes when I could, and did a lot of burnouts in that truck.
What was it like going to the LLY from like the previous setup? Was it, did you get into the modifications a lot or upgrades, or was it something you use mostly for like driving, taking off road, things like that?
It was mainly the four door. The LLY was mainly just for driving, and I guess you could say a tow rig as well. And it was great. I mean, I've always had gas trucks, and going from gas to a diesel, just holy cow, the power is just there. And I was like, I want one. I want more. I want more. So got rid of the LLY and I got the LML and fell in love instantly. I just had so many ideas with this truck and just kept doing more and more and more because you want more. And right now I'm pretty happy where it's that. I mean, it's got a stock bottom end, It's got a 68 VGT Rhines diesel service turbo, 100 over injectors, and a 12 mil pump from Industrial, and head studs. Did a bigger radiator, fast lift pump. Let's see. And then I did upgraded the brakes from Invaded. Invaded Machinery Solution. Did their hub kit and brake kit, front and rear. I think that I'm the first LML truck to have it. And then what else did it? Did shocks. The list just goes on. I think I'm the and I did bedsides. Yeah. I think I'm the first LML to do double adjustable shocks in the front
as well. With this setup, when you first got the truck, did you sit down and put a plan together of exactly what you wanted to do? Or did it sort of snowball where you do a couple things and then that builds on a couple others and then it turns into what it is now?
When I first got the truck, I was like, you know what? This is a race truck. I'm not going to lift it, because we're back where I'm from in California. It's always lifted on big wheels and tires. They call it SimCal. And I was like, you know, I'm not going to do that. It's four-wheel drive, but you're like, you know what? This is a drag truck. So I'm going to make this into a drag racing truck / street truck, more street truck than drag racing. And it just slowly went up. You know, I did the tune, and then from the tune, I did double adjustable shocks in the rear. I just slowly worked my way up and then did a turbo. Then actually I did the pump first. That was the first thing you want to do on an LML, is get rid of that CP4 and put a CP3 in there. And then just did turbo injectors, and then I did a bigger pump. And then it's like, all right, I need to work on my 60 foot. So then I did the double adjustable shocks, and I want to go lighter. I want to be the lightest LML out there. So I did bedsides. And I did the brakes. So the brakes was 200 pounds loss. No, 175 pound loss of rotating weight. The bed sides is about probably like 300 pounds. So right now I think I'm about 5,500 pounds for a diesel truck.
Now with the turbo, we hear a lot about like S300s, S400s. What about the VGT made you choose it and then also stick with it?
So I did the VGT for one. It's cheaper, and two, I still have a stock bottom end, and my buddies have S400s, and one buddy blew up his truck, and I was like, you know what, I don't have the money to, you know, do the bottom end, so I don't want to do an S400 yet, because then if I did, I'd have a lot more power. So I just kept with the VGT, because there's power, and it's cheaper. So I just kept it with that. But the more and more I'm with it, the more and more I'm loving it. It spools up faster than the S300, S400. So if you're in a higher elevation, I could get on the line a lot faster than everybody else. And they're sitting there for more than 7 seconds to spool, and they have to bump in the beams before 5 or 7 seconds, so they automatic red light. So that's a plus. But the spooling is like the biggest. I mean, you could tow, my opinion, you can tow better with the VGT than say an S475 or even S480. You don't even want to tow with an S480, but an S369, I hear people still towing with that. But the VGT, I feel, is more all around. If you want to go to the track for the day and go to the track. If you want to tow your camper and go camping, you can go camping. But I feel like it's more of an all-around turbo than an S400 or an S300.
Now with your VGT, is the one that you have now the very first one that you got, or did you try or even plan on maybe some different sizes or different types of VGTs?
I still got the same turbo I bought. The Ryan's Diesel Services Turbo, same one. It's been doing great. Never had a problem with it. I'm just going faster and faster. I went from a 12.4 And when I did the turbo injectors, I went to an 11.4. So I dropped a full second by doing the turbo and injectors. And then losing weight got me down to an 11.1. So
that's moving.
Yeah, it's still turbo. It's a great turbo.
With the now with the transmission, what did you do on that side?
So, and I still live in California. I took it to the track, did a 12.8 stock turbo, stock injectors, still had the had a CP3 in it, and stock trans. I did 12.8, and then when I did that 12.8, my trainer didn't like that, so took it to a local shop. I did a lot of research. I'm like, do I want to go to Inglewood, have a transmission there? Then I hit up a buddy from Texas to see, hey, if I want to have them do my transmission. And I'm like, or do I just want to stay local? It's like, something ever bad goes happen, I can always drop it off the next day. So I just stayed local. It's like a 750 horsepower transmission. Never got the build sheet from the guy who built it, but so far so good. It's staying strong. The 4-5 shift for the LMLs, I don't like. I want to get rid of the Allison and do a Dodge transmission because then I can manually shift it. But no, I haven't had any problems with my trans. The day I got my truck back with the trans, I went straight to the local dirt drags and got second place.
Now with the times you're running, so it's 11.1 in the quarter, I think 7.0 in the eighth. And it seems like with the build, you've really been focused on doing, you know, a ton of different things, not just power, but also with weight savings and getting that 60-foot time down. Where do you think this truck's going to end up at? Yeah, can it go faster than 11.1, like as it sits now or with a couple other little changes, or what's your ultimate goal with it?
So my ultimate goal is to stay the fastest LML VGT. I'm trying to get into the 10s with the VGT. I think I'd be the first LML VGT in the 10s. I've done research. I haven't found anyone that's done it. So hopefully this winter, I'm going to yank my 100s out and put 200s in and see if that gives me that 2/10 to get me into a 10.9. Or I might have to run some nitrous, but that's last resort. My buddy wants me to run nitrous so bad, but I'll wait until I can just do it on fuel and air only.
With trying to find out like the fastest times, I always struggle with that. Like there's Elite Power Strokes, which does a really good job of like listing the power stroke times. And I know sometimes like on Comp D or some other places you might find Cummins stuff, a little bit of Duramax, but like it's always so hard for me to find that. So where and what kind of places have you looked or people have you chatted with to say like, hey, this was the fastest one, I want to go quicker than that truck, or you know, just to be able to hit kind of that benchmark, that achievement that you want?
So I follow like 2 or 3 Facebook pages on Facebook, LML ones. And I've, in all 3 of them, I put my truck, I said, hey, what's the fastest LML VGT out there? What's the fastest time? And no one could give me a really good straight answer. It's like, oh, this guy's running a 10. I'm like, is he compound or is he S400? Oh, he's compound. Okay, I don't want compound. I want single turbo VGT. And I found a place online also, but that doesn't give you a real, I don't know if how accurate it is, and it doesn't tell you your setup, but it tells the motor, but not the setup. So the fastest I found on that was like a 10.8, but I know there's a guy out there running like a 10.1, but they're all compounds and S400s. So just talking a lot and posting on forums is when I try to find the most. And if you can't find it, then I guess just claim it.
And with one of the things I noticed that was really cool, and I was looking at your Instagram page, is the truck itself and it being a short bed. How did you do that yourself, or how did you change the bed side?
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
So I have a buddy back in California. It's DSS Motorsports. He does a lot of single cabs, short bed conversion. He did it on his, so I'm like, let's do it on mine. So we did mine, and mine was a lot harder because it's a boxed frame. They went from a seat, you know, not boxed, and from all the way from 2010 to 2011. 11 is when they went to a box frame. So mine was a little bit harder. So that was difficult. That one took a lot longer than his. But it was just like, let's just do it. Like, nobody's done it. It's different. So let's, was like, let's just do it. Like, all right. So we just made a plan, did a lot of research, got some, the dimensions from the truck, and went from there. So it was a lot of math.
Oh yeah,
a lot of math and geometry. You get it.
Yeah, it's a really sweet looking.
I mean, if you're gonna do it, yeah, if you're gonna do a short bed conversion, I recommend from 01 to 2010. It's easier.
I also noticed on your Instagram page you have some racing videos and things like that. Where, like, how far will you travel to go race, or where? You know, are there some events that you're definitely looking, you know, maybe to hit up the end of this year or going into next year to be able to, you know, compete against other trucks, just have fun? Yeah, what's on your list of events to go to?
I don't travel as much as I would like, and there's not much local. I mainly stay on my local track, but this year I went all the way to Jackpot for a diesel street racing event. It's a legal street racing event. And sometimes I'll go back to California for that drag racing event in Sacramento at Truck Mania. So not, I guess you could say the furthest is probably like 9-hour drive, but yeah, I like to stay local, but it's kind of hard because the diesel drag racing isn't as big as it was, or probably not as big as it should be here in Idaho. It's more dynoing than drag racing. So, but yeah, if there's an event close by, you bet I'm going to be there and I'm going to try to take the first place.
With, you mentioned a little bit before the podcast, a story you had about being in California, and we didn't chat about it, so I figured I'd just ask you on the air about the story.
So when I bought the truck, I knew exactly what I was going to do with it. So I bought it, and then that weekend I have family in Twin Falls, Idaho. I drove it all the way to Twin, and we registered it in Twin Falls, Idaho under my cousin's name and my name. So I didn't have to deal with smog and registration in California, because it's just ridiculous. If you live in California, you know, I mean, for 2011, it was going to be like over $500 just in registration. And then smog is $40, but if you want to put all your stuff back on or pay for a hot smog, I mean, you're paying a lot of money and doing a lot of work just to make it California compliant. I'm like, I'm not going to do that. So took Idaho, registered it, no problem. Took it back, California, got pulled over once for window tint, didn't say anything about the license plate, and then I was on my way to San Francisco with my wife, because I was moving in a month to Idaho, and I got pulled over on the Bay Bridge by CHP, and he found everything he could on that truck, saying, oh, this isn't legal, this isn't legal. I'm like, the truck's from Idaho, I don't have to have this. He's like, yes, you do. I was like, no, I don't. It's mine and my cousin's truck from Idaho. This truck is an Idaho truck. It does not need California compliant stuff because it's from Idaho. Idaho doesn't do smog. Twin Falls County doesn't do smog. So we had a, so he gave me a ticket for window tint speeding. He wanted me to get refereed in California and smog. I said, well, I don't know how I can do this when I'm moving to Idaho. So I had to hire a lawyer. Lawyer fought and said, they said that if I want those to drop the registration and refereed, I'd have to bring it to California, smog it, and get it refereed. I said, and register. I'm like, well, how am I going to do that? I don't live in California no more. Where am I going to register? I live in Idaho. Sent the lawyer a picture of my ID in my house, and they said, well, you have to do this. I was like, well, no, how am I going to do this? I can't, where am I going to register it? So the final court date just ended in the beginning of the year. And they said, everything is dropped because I live in Idaho now. I said, all right, thank you. So it just shows you, even if you live out of state, California is still going to try to find a way to fine you for the emissions, which is complete ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, that episode, I'm not sure if you caught it, that we did recently with Corey Willis when we were talking about the emissions testing, carb testing for parts and things like that, and how it's basically spreading out, however it does, is it just seems so confusing. And like the story you just told us, if you don't live there, how do you register it there? And just all the things that go into it that, it's totally different. I don't know. I wish there was more clarity with it. Like between states and things like that, or even traveling there for, an event or driving through or something like that. You just never know, because the rules are completely different than other states are with that sort of stuff.
Yeah. And that's what my lawyer said. Well, can you register it? Well, can you smog it where you live? I was like, I don't have smog. This is a non-smog county. Well, oh, I was like, yeah. So I think California needs to start doing some more homework and not just doing what they want. Because I've lived there my whole life almost since I was 27. I moved out when I was 26 and I moved to Idaho. And living there is just, they do what they want. They don't care what you want. Because this is what I was going to fight this in court if I had to go there. I said, weed is federally illegal, but California can make it legal. But you cannot tune a diesel, which you're spending money into the economy and making business better by buying aftermarket parts, building business, making the community better, businesses better. And yet they rather make drugs legal than having this economy booming, which just blows my mind in California. That's why I moved.
I lived out there a long time ago, but I wasn't into performance or anything like that. So I remember the smog process, but you've been there more recently. How does it work on the diesel side? Like you mentioned earlier, like older than 97 it didn't need to be tested, but like say on a 2015 or a 2007 or a 2019, like how does it work there with emissions testing?
So with diesels, it used to be all visual. So you just take it to the smog shop and they just checked everything. They looked everything. They didn't have to plug anything in. It was just all visual. Well, now with everything, they can plug in. They plug in your diesel. I'm not sure. I don't think they do the OB2. Don't think they do the exhaust like they do with gas. And they check if the computer has been tampered with. So if you want to make it, you want to do it the right way. If you have emissions like my truck in 2011, you have to put everything back to stock. You got to put the stock tune back in everything, and they plug it in. They'll say, okay, this thing complies. And then you can take everything back off and make it whatever you want with all the emissions. So, and then with 97, they passed the law. I think it's when Arnold Schwarzenegger was in office, that 97 and older, you do not need to smog any diesels. So 12 valves and the 7.3 power strokes were like the best trucks that everybody wanted in California because there's no smog. And then 75 and older gas vehicles, you don't have to smog as well.
So like, say, so you had like a 2011 or 2012 and you had some aftermarket parts, would they look for the carb number on it? Like whether it was an air intake or some sort of tuner or something like that. So the smog shops would be familiar with that. And that's how you could still do it as long as it had that carb number for it.
Yes, I got, they said it, my gas truck didn't pass smog because I didn't have the K&N air filter sticker, the carb number. So I had to call K&N, hey, can you send me this carb sticker? Okay, so they sent me the carb sticker. I put it on the truck underneath the hood. It's, oh, you can pass smog now. Like, so I don't know what the difference with a sticker or what. A sticker doesn't make a difference with the emissions, which, yeah.
It's interesting. Yeah, I know that kind of stuff is, there's a lot of states that are kind of following that model. So I'm sure in the future that'll come up a lot more with guests and different topics we cover. But back to the truck itself, do you think you ever, like, do you have a plan to build the engine and maybe do compound something like that in the future? Or how far are you going to take the VGT?
Well, probably it'll be a long time. I have a baby on the way. So once the motor does go, then I'll start doing S400. And then if I want to go more, then I'll do compound. So once the motor goes, I guess you can say then I'll be going for the nines. I don't know if I'll go for the eights. I don't, but I'll do nines. Maybe if I can get an 8.5, I'll do an 8.5. That's probably the fastest I'll go is 8.5 cert. But yeah, if once the motor goes, then I guess you can say it's full race truck from there. Tube chassis. I would love to honestly back half the truck right now, but people would complain. So I'm just leaving it how it is because people complain now. But yeah, once the bottom end goes, then it's full race truck time.
That's cool. Now, I know there's a lot of Duramax fans that listen to the podcast and people just like to know into diesels in general. Where can people find you on Instagram? Check out the truck, some races. They might have questions about the suspension or, you know, maybe they want to do something very similar to what you have where they can reach out to you and ask those questions.
I have an Instagram. I'm on a lot. I guess you can say I'm on a lot. It's babymax underscore LML. You can find me on there. You can hit me up in the DMs. I'm always looking at my DMs and I'm honestly not afraid to ask or answer any questions you guys got. People ask me all the time what I have and I'm not afraid. So, and I have a Facebook as well. It's Jordan Van Groningen. I'm not on there as much, but you can find me on there and ask me questions as well.
Well, it was really cool when you reached out to us because we like to hear stories about unique builds and things people are doing a little different. And I know we were chatting a little bit beforehand. You know, you said everyone wants to do an S300, S400, and I want to stick with this VGT and you know, push it as far as I can. And that's something cool because it's a huge market. And it's something I think if I was going to do a turbo swap or something on my truck, it would be so much easier for me to do it. And you also mentioned the cost as well versus like a compound setup and, you know, everything that goes into changing the style of turbo. So I think that's really cool, you know, what you've done. We appreciate you reaching out, appreciate you listening to the podcast and, you know, sharing with us the history of the truck, your strategy, your build strategy for it, and keep us updated once you get in the tens. I'm sure you will. And that's a huge accomplishment, you know, on a VGT. So I appreciate your time today chatting with us, Jordan.
Yeah, thank you. I really appreciate it. The podcast, great. I love the podcast. I honestly appreciate letting me be on. I was honestly thought it was gonna be a long shot sending my picture and being on here, but I'm glad you let me be on here because I love to tell people about my truck. And anyone out there that's got an LML VGT that's faster than me, please let me know. I would love to know.
Definitely, yeah. Let us know too. Like I said, it depending on what kind of truck it is, it can be super easy to like find this top 50 list or top 25 list. Yeah. But with other steps, it'd be a little harder. And I mean, I love chatting with you guys out there, you know, building trucks, and that's really where the passion is and why this whole industry exists is the customization and the things we can do with it. So anyone out there that's listening, you got a cool build or something like that, let me know. Love to get you guys on the podcast. And yeah, appreciate your time today, Jordan.
Yeah, I appreciate it, man. I really appreciate it. This is great. I'd love to do it again.
Don't forget, diesel fans, make sure and head on over to kershaw.kiausa.com. Use code DIESEL20 to save 20% off site-wide. We really appreciate our friends over there offering this discount code just for you guys to be able to save some money on some gear, whether you need it for everyday carry or hunting, fishing, outdoors, you know, at work, at the job site. They got a ton of different choices for you. Also want to give a shout out to some of our Patreon supporters. We appreciate their support, helping us grow, get some new equipment, do some new things we wanted to do for a really long time. Tyler Lowen of 23 Diesel, Caleb, all of our other Patreons, all of you who subscribe on YouTube, iTunes, SoundCloud, Spotify, all the podcast apps. We love hearing from you guys. Love knowing what you're working on. If you're not on our Discord, make sure and jump on there. We're over 600 people that are on there. You guys are working on some really cool stuff, keeping me on my toes and updated with the latest and greatest in diesel. So I appreciate all your support. You guys are why we do this podcast and where we find our inspiration, creativity to keep cranking out content. Until next time, keep the shiny side up.